heard a story about Ajahn Buddhadasa, that when quite often when he would sit receiving guests, he might have a chicken under his arm, and then if a mosquito landed on him, he would gently move the chicken slightly closer to the mosquito, and that way he wasn't breaking the Vinaya.
I believe I've seen that happen. Yes, very mindfully moving the chicken. Not always having a chicken conveniently perched on his arm. We didn't have like a specific pet chicken, but they were very comfortable around him. He was like, speaking of mountains, his presence was like being in front of a living mountain. He was not just because he was physically big, but this extraordinary stillness and kind of evenness, this sort of steadiness that he emanated was amazing. And then sometimes you're surprised when he spoke, oh my goodness, the mountain speaks. Yeah, just for a moment, that was it was very, very potent. I was fortunate to be able to stay there for a couple of weeks after my 10th rains retreat. During those years, the late 80s, Ajahn Chah was very ill, but Ajahn Buddhadasa's associate, Ajahn Panyananda, Lumpo Panyananda, used to come and visit here in the UK and help our community quite often. And so when I went to Thailand, he arranged for me to go and spend a couple of weeks at Suwarnamukh. But I must admit, I was a bit in awe of Ajahn Buddhadasa, and so that I would go along to his talks and appreciated being in the monastery for 2 weeks. And then when I went to go and take leave, myself and one or two other monks who'd come to visit, and when we were paying our respects to take leave, he said, "You never come and chatted with me. You've been here all this time, and we didn't have a conversation." I thought, "Ah, damn." So that was I chalked that up as a missed opportunity, but it was like you're going to chat to a mountain. It's like you didn't feel like it felt a little bit presumptuous to just show up and expect to chat. He was also very impressive. Itapachayata was a theme that he'd spent a lot of time on in some previous years. When I was there in 1988, most of the Dhamma teachings were around a quality called Atamayata, which we cover in a later chapter, which I'd never even heard of. But he was presenting that as the final word or the ultimate Buddhist principle. Again, we'll get to that in due course. But I was amazed how that there were, say, about 50, 60, 70 people gathered around his kuti at 5 o'clock in the morning. About half would be the people who'd come on retreat who had, you know, largely strayed off the beach, coming to do a 10-day retreat at Suwarnamukh, and all kinds of sort of wanderers and travelers. And I thought, here we are sitting at 5 o'clock in the morning, and Ajahn Buddhadasa is giving us Dhamma teachings about Atamayata, this extraordinarily profound, hard to explain principle of non-duality. And he's completely undaunted by the fact that many of the people there have no idea what he's talking about, or that would be really struggling to understand or follow the Buddhist principles. He just would deliver these extraordinarily profound Dhamma teachings. And I thought, well, these people are really lucky, right? You know, but not really sure how many could genuinely understand, who literally coming into contact with Buddhism for the first time. But he was, again, amazingly even and just sort of steady in the way he sort of delivered the teachings and didn't make any reference to the fact that half the people there are a bunch of hippies straight off the beach and encountering Buddhism probably for the first time. He just spoke to that in them which could possibly understand and could appreciate what he was saying, and that's what he spoke to. And didn't really allow the kind of perception of a scruffy crowd of young Westerners to be anything that was significant in his perception. It was amazing. Just spoke to everyone in the group was in a very sort of respectful way as fellow Dhamma practitioners. It was a very impressive dynamic. And Ajahn Santikara had been with him for quite a long time. And Ajahn Buddhadasa spoke pretty good English as well. So with Santikara translating, he was very, very accurate and quite familiar with the principles that Ajahn Buddhadasa was communicating. So that it was a it was a very fluid and very very accessible translation that was going on. So really appreciated that from he's now former Ajahn Santikaro, but he's disrobed a few years ago, but greatly appreciated his